Welkom. Strijders voor onze vrijheid en onze rechten. Dit is de Jensen Show. Robert Jensen.
Dr. Naomi Wolf, welcome to the Jensen Show.
Thank you so much for having me, and please call me Naomi.
Naomi, okay, that's good. Naomi, we have a lot to get to. You have written an incredibly fascinating book about the whole COVID period and vaccination and this new world, this dark new age that is upon us, or actually we're living through it at the moment. So we'll get to that. But can I just ask you, because I talked about this before in the show, as an American, what do you make? I mean, we live in such crazy times. I mean, we just had the attack in Russia. ISIS made a comeback all of a sudden. These guys all were gone for 4.5 years, and now they're back. And now you got this cargo ship in Baltimore. It is such a weird time to be alive. Do you have a take on that cargo ship? What happened?
Yeah, yes, I do. Thank you for asking. And I've been warning people about exactly this for now 2.5 years since it became obvious to me. It's obvious that the West is under attack. It's obvious that Western Europe and especially North America, well, they're equally under attack. I know exactly who's doing it. I wrote about the evildoers in the prequel to this book, which is called The Bodies of Others. It's these globalist entities, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and using China as a cat's paw. And the what's surprising and disorienting to us is we've never seen war waged like this before. But the war in Ukraine, the effect of it. So I'm a former political consultant to a vice president and to a presidential campaign. And so I've been in the rooms where world historical decisions are made. They're not made through press releases. There's no paperwork, right? So I'm called a conspiracy theory when I use that knowledge to reason about what's happening. But this is literally how power works. And what's happening right now is Western Europe is captured. The leadership of Western Europe is captured. Traitors, right? The methodology for waging war against you without you having any recourse is the European Union, which has drained your national sovereignty at the level of the Netherlands or France or Germany, right? No one has national sovereignty in Europe that's effective. And then in the United States, the war is being waged on us through our captured administration. I voted for them, I didn't know, that took $3 million from a Chinese intelligence asset via, you know, confirmed through Hunter Biden's laptop. And so we're, you in Western Europe and we in the United States and certainly Canada, Australia, New Zealand, I could name the regions around the world, we're living under treasonous regimes that are aligned with people who want to effectively, through this war that we don't recognize because through an unusual method, they want to, kill, sterilize, and incapacitate us and replace our populations and our culture with people who have no knowledge or experience of representative democracy or of republics or parliaments or human rights or the rule of law, because that's easier for them. So Western Europe and North America, especially the United States, are a problem for globalists that they're trying to solve through these attacks. So I've been warning for 2.5 years, and this is called unrestricted warfare, you know, in the Chinese methodology. And I know about this through my husband, Brian O'Shea, and his colleagues. And he spent decades in military intelligence learning about exactly these methodologies. And we do this to other countries, right? The U.S., if we want to get rid of a leadership in another country, we'll send in our special operatives, we'll buy off the elites, we'll threaten and buy off, you know, the senior leadership, we'll create our own propaganda in that language, on and on and on. Well, that's what's happening to your country and my country now.
And the problem is, you say we're under attack in the West, but the problem is, and it's more visible than ever for people who can see it, and more people can see it, that the enemy is from within.
Yeah.
A large part of the enemy, the big part of the enemy, is from within the West.
You're correct.
People in the West do it to themselves, or it's the small group, the small globalist elitist. They're doing it to us. That is just, for most people, that is so difficult to grasp. that that level of evil, and it's treason.
Right. Yeah, no, it's beyond treason. It's treason and genocide.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right, and it's so interesting. I'm having a version of this same conversation, like what you just shared, with every Dutch interviewer I've met on this trip. And you're in the resistance, right? But that kind of, it's so hard to process that our own people are doing this to us. And I mean, I'd like to respond to that, right? I wrote an essay looking at the leaders of the resistance movement. And it's not surprising to me that people in the Netherlands have a resistance movement, right? Because I found that the leaders of the freedom movement tend to be, have heritages or ancestries that have experienced genocidal policies. They're disproportionately Irish, and the Irish were starved out and genocided, right? Or they're Jewish, and we have a, you know, my grandmother's generation, you know, 9 of her brothers and sisters were killed off in genocidal policies in Europe. Or they're Armenian, you know, genocided by the Turks, or they're African or African American, genocided through slavery or controlled and enslaved and genocided through slavery. So the Dutch, I'm not surprised, are kind of leading Europe in questioning. You may not know this because we're so siloed by algorithms and social media, but you have a history of you know, some history of not complying with tyranny, which is admirable, and a long legacy and history of respect for the individual and, you know, reason. So I think that's standing you in good stead. But I think in response to your difficulty grasping this moment, I think the EU has been very, very, very clever. And we in America, half the country is awake, right? Half the country is fighting very effectively to not pass laws about vaccine passports, to make sure they have their guns, to, you know, try to defund the WHO. There's very effective resistance that's already organized in, I would say, 50% of America. But we don't have the burden of the post-war era of the European Union. And what I mean by that, and I wrote about the EU both in The Bodies of Others and in Facing the Beast, the EU was brilliant because post-war Europe, you've got the European Union, it starts out as an economic agreement, and then gently, gently, gently over time, it metastasizes and metastasizes and propagandizes itself as something it isn't, which is a meta-democracy, right? It's in no way a meta-democracy. But I've lived in Britain off and on for decades, and I hung out with, you know, very senior people, Oxford dons, you know, reporters and editors at the Sunday Times and the Guardian. They didn't know the mechanism by which their sovereignty was being drained when they were part of the European Union. They didn't know. And most Europeans I spoke to until recently didn't know. They thought, oh, bureaucracy, red tape in Brussels. They didn't understand that it is not a republic in any way. It's not a meta-republic. The parliament doesn't represent you. You can't introduce bills. You can't stop bills. You can't lobby for bills. And then I went.
You can't vote for the people at the top.
You can't vote for them.
You can't vote for people at the top. So this is a dictatorship.
It's a thoroughgoing dictatorship. But the genius of it, and why, I promise I'll stop talking in 30 seconds. But the genius of how the EU sneaked into taking like a coup in Europe, right? A coup in Europe, creating fascism, right? The equivalent of tyranny, but almost no one in Greece and Germany and France and the Netherlands and, you know, realizing it till it was too late, is they had 60 years or more of looking so good, right? Let's fund the universities, let's fund the museums, free admission to museums, let's protect the environment, let's ensure there are human rights. And everyone's like, awesome, great. EU, fabulous. And then, you know, and then all your sovereignty bit by bit gets removed from the nation state. And then they pull the string, they crack the whip, and literally Where is your legislative database? You know, how do you lobby? Where can you go? Whom do you protest? It's smoke and mirrors, right? So
people were lulled into that situation. Completely lulled. But the interesting thing is, okay, I find it very interesting from an American to hear about the EU and about Europe. But let me ask you something, or tell you something, how I view America nowadays.
Sure.
I used to be the biggest fan of America. And looking back, I have to admit that I was bamboozled or hypnotized by the Hollywood version of America.
Right.
I should have seen it earlier, but it took me a while to wake up. And what I notice about Americans is that they are very slow to wake up to the fact that their country is not as great as they think it is. And this is also where you sort of were lulled into thinking about, you know, America's exceptional. America's spreading democracy around the world. It's all this hypnosis, this sweet talk, this sugar coating, right, and distracting from the real story that the U.S. has been the biggest aggressor and has right. done terrible, terrible, terrible things over the past 50, 60 years. And Americans will still defend and say America's a great country. Yeah, but they're talking about something that hasn't been there for a long, long time. And they need to wake up. Otherwise, you could start accusing Americans of being the Germans during the world's wars.
Well, let's drill down into that. I mean, I thoroughly acknowledge that America has done horrible things around the world, consistently, but it certainly our malfeasance around the world has escalated post-World War II. Our foreign policy has been largely catastrophically, we've supported tyrants around the world. And yes, the propaganda is we bring democracy. But at home, when Americans say this is the greatest country on earth, our First Amendment and our Fourth Amendment really are, and our Second Amendment really are unique and extraordinary. And people around the world have rightly sought to reproduce that document and our Constitution in their own nations. So at home, we've had remarkable freedoms. And I really want to stress, so we should have woken up, right? I wrote The End of America in 2007, and the naivete is, and it's part of the propaganda, is that that freedom just automatically reproduces itself. And it doesn't. And our founders knew that. And that's why they say in the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, if any government stops serving the people, it is your obligation to rise up and replace that government so that it does serve the people. Revolution is written into our Declaration of Independence. So their naivete was thinking it can't happen here.
It's a similar thing as the EU because
really?
I mean, you can be proud of your Second Amendment, but you can say you're proud of the Second Amendment,
right?
And other amendments, and I agree with that 100%. But that's not the country anymore, and the people should wake up and realize that those amendments were put in there for a reason and to protect yourself.
Right.
And here's the thing that's strange about America. They keep 50% keeps fighting for the Second Amendment. And I'm not a violent person. I don't even want to own a gun. But I understand why people want to own guns. And I understand the reasoning. It's to protect yourself against evil. If the government turns against you or some evil comes in. But the question really is also for Americans. So when are you going to start using those rights? And I'm not calling for them to use the right, but I'm just saying, what is there to be proud of if in critical times, like, for example, when you have lockdowns for a virus, the so-called killer virus that's not there, and you're being manipulated, when is that time and will that time ever come? Or is everybody lulled and thinks, okay, it's not worth it, we'll just...
So respectfully... I really disagree with you in your assessment, in your last set of comments, because I think it's very important for the whole world right now to look at how half of America has succeeded largely in blocking move after move after move of these evildoers. Yes, late in some cases, but some states never closed down, like South Dakota. Some states opened up quickly, like Florida. And the fact, I mean, there are many things that have allowed half of America to drop emergency law quickly, even though the federal government was saying we want to continue a state of emergency, allowed commerce to begin, allowed students to go back to school. And there are many mechanisms in our checks and balances, legislature, executive, and courts, that have successfully challenged and ended tyrannical measures, like a lawsuit against the Biden administration to drop mask mandates on federal transportation that was successful, a current lawsuit by people like me, including me, who were censored on social media by the government, that is being decided by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has heard this challenge, right? And this, and a lower court stayed the government. Our own, my company passed a Five Freedoms Bill in 33 states at the state legislature level to ban vaccine passports. So respectfully, you're not right to, you know, to say all of America is you know, complying and subjugated. That's not correct. I'm aware of these resistance movements around the world, and I thank God every day for our founders and our Constitution and our checks and balances, because, and I want to tell the rest of the world what we're doing that's working and what we're doing, you know, that hasn't worked, so that the rest of the world can fight more effectively. For instance, I'm so worried about Europe because you don't now have the equivalent of the state level government, you know, or the nation state level government that would allow Greece or the Netherlands to say, I'm opting out, right? So that's so important for people to know their own national laws. You know, what do the national laws say? What are the international laws about, for instance, medical freedom? Can you inject someone with an experimental injection or any medical treatment against their will in the Netherlands? My knowledge of international law says no, but everyone in the Netherlands or in France or in Germany needs to know what their national laws say. They need to know what EU laws say, but you can't find out because the database is hidden. I tried to find it. It doesn't exist publicly. And you need to start putting pressure on your local laws. Now, the Second Amendment, every day my husband trains with a weapon. And he has bought a 22 for me, and I'm learning to shoot. Respectfully, you're really misunderstanding the role of the Second Amendment. And, I, you know, in Facing the Beast, I talk about my own 180
What am I misunderstanding?
Well, the Second Amendment...
It's there to protect against your government going to tyrannical, right?
Exactly. But why is America further more free than any other country that, of which I'm aware right now, that has been targeted by the globalists? It's because of the First and Second Amendments. So the Second Amendment isn't, you know, the Second Amendment isn't only manifested, the power of it, if people are violently storming the Capitol, right? It would have been very bad if there had been bloodshed by citizens on January 6th.
But how are you more free? How are you more free? I can point towards Sweden. They didn't lock down at all.
Do they know what their laws are? Can they stop what the EU is doing?
But did you know what the laws are? I mean,
I know exactly what the laws are.
But America, 50% of the states is locked down in a very harsh way. If you look at California, New York.
Respectfully, you're really mistaken about the mechanism of that. The federal government wanted to lock us all down on a national level, but because of our state laws and our system of the governors being able to decide, you know, and to disobey the federal government, state by state, half of the states did not.
But half of the states did.
Initially,
the federal government wanted everybody to. But I understand America. America, what you're saying is America is really not one, because America has got all these different states and regulations. Right, correct?
Let me try again. I can't say this enough. In Holland, I don't know where people can find the bills that are coming up in the legislature and how they can stop them or advance them. In the EU, which is superior to all of the nation states in many ways, right, in terms of power, you cannot find upcoming legislation or lobby for it or show up in Brussels to talk to the people who are about to discuss it or block the people you didn't elect from passing the bill. You can't see the bill until it's already ruling your life. So that is a massive difference between our two systems. And about the Second Amendment, the fact that like right now, there's a fight between Governor Abbott in Texas and President Biden about, do you open the border? Do you close the border? And the National Guard, who have to obey the governor of Texas, are putting wire up, you know, in defiance of what the president has told them to do, which you cannot do the same way in Europe if a nation state defies the EU, right? You know, he's got his own army, essentially, and he's got a state full of armed people, right? So it's much more difficult for the federal, you know, you're not seeing the president say, okay, I'll take, you know, my UN mercenaries, or I'll take Blackwater mercenaries, and I'll send them to battle the National Guard under the command of the governor of Texas. So and that's the Second Amendment, right? That those are militias. That's what our Second Amendment, the National Guard is what our Second Amendment was designed to create, as well as homeowners having their own weapons. And it's just much more difficult. You don't see a land invasion of the United States because there's going to be one, or it's happening bit by bit stealthily, but it's much more difficult because if someone comes into the home of virtually anyone who's armed, they can legally defend themselves and shoot that person dead. And that's not the case in Europe. So, and no. Notice,
but for the past 3.5 years, there's been an invasion in the States through the southern border. For the past 3.5 years, the border has basically been opened.
Correct.
After 3.5 years, and the invasion is complete.
May I note something? There are TikTok videos telling immigrants, illegal immigrants, how to occupy the homes of people in the United States. The states where there's a lot of gun ownership, they're not occupying those homes because those people would be dead.
It's ridiculous. But what we totally agree on, the world is crazy, and it's a very dangerous place at the moment, and it's going the wrong way. Do you agree with me that, for example, when it comes to the vaccines and forced vaccination, which, I mean, I rebelled against it so hard against the vaccine. You did too. I know you were very, and you were canceled many, many times everywhere. But here's the thing. I think at the end of the day, I mean, of course, it helps when the regulations is on our side. But at the end of the day, it's us, the people, who should just not acquiesce and just say no. And
totally.
If you come to me with a syringe, you're going to at least lose one arm.
When
you walk out
and
the door.
And if you have your guns back, you could just pull your weapon.
Listen, I don't need a gun. I need this gun. And you are, it's just not, Naomi, it will just never happen. And this should be the attitude, right?
You guys
then they're powerless.
Weapons. All of Europe used to be armed, right? Yeah. You guys all had swords, you had pistols, you had rifles. I don't think it'll never happen, but we can argue about that another time. Yeah. Yes, no one should comply. And I understand that in the Netherlands, there really weren't vaccine mandates in the same way that there were in many other countries. And that's, again, to credit individual resistance and the this is the people, right? Just saying, we're not going to do it. And it's so, so important. And you do, and this is really what Facing the Beast is about. You know, I did not comply. I lost my status as a world famous feminist on the left. I lost my publishers. I lost 6 figures in investment funds from my tech company. I lost, you know, my reputation was blackened overnight around the world because I posted an accurate tweet about women having menstrual symptoms from the injection in 2021. And it turned out it was the White House colluding with other agencies to suppress my accurate tweet in 2021, which goes to the plans they had for this injection sterilizing people, especially attacking women and their reproductive capacity, which I've revealed in the study of the Pfizer documents that 3,250 doctors and scientists under our leadership have completed. So just to credit what you're saying, people think they're powerless, and the propaganda in Europe as well as in America is to convince people that what they do doesn't matter. The battle's already been won. But I think the Netherlands is a wonderful example of people changing the outcome by resisting. And over time, the globalists will find, you know, they're being thwarted in various quarters, right?
Yeah,
I think
true.
Sweden is passing laws to say you can't have a cashless society. I think the lockdowns would have been longer and more devastating if it weren't for popular resistance in Europe. And what I'm hoping is that Europeans and Australians and New Zealanders will realize that the revolution has to be legislative and not just in the streets where, you know, very little happens if you don't also change the laws.
Yeah. So the book is in Dutch is called Oog in Oog met het Beest, so that's facing the beast, and it's great. There's so many details about it. And let's get a little bit into this this vaccine. I think it's important also because I think a lot of people are frightened now who took the vaccines, and especially with all the evidence coming out that it is not good for you. But do you have any idea? Because I spoke to Michael Yeadon, the former president of Pfizer, the vice president of Pfizer, and at the time, and I asked him, and he I asked him, what did people actually shoot up their arms? What was it? And he said, I am not sure. I am not sure. But he said, it's not tested, and you wouldn't even give it to your pet or your cat. But we now know a little bit more about it, but it's still not precisely. We don't have the answer. What did people, how dangerous is it? Is it more dangerous for some people than others? Does it go out of your system, or does it leave your system in a natural way? Or what's your sense about this?
It's not my sense. I know exactly now what's in it, and we know exactly what it does. And again, the highlights of, you know, what exactly it is and what exactly it does are in Facing the Beast. And you can also find them on our Substack, on our website, dailycloud.io, the 96 reports that our 3,250 highly credentialed doctors and scientists who read through the 450,000 internal Pfizer documents released under court order that the FDA wanted to keep hidden for 75 years, they've identified exactly what's in the shots, exactly what the side effects are, exactly what the mechanism is, and that's valuable because then you can treat these vaccine injuries. You can't treat the fatalities that have already happened, obviously, but I can tell you. So unfortunately, the critical ingredients that are causing the problems are lipid nanoparticles, which are industrial fats coated in polyethylene glycol, which is in antifreeze, right? It's a petroleum byproduct. So the lipid nanoparticles are, like, you can order them online. They're made in China, of course. All the mRNA injections that we've received through Pfizer are made in China. The IP went to China. My original reporting found this. And China opened 14 manufacturing plants in Western Europe and 11 in the United States. So our adversary who wants to depopulate us, and as my husband points out, take our land, take our water, take our energy grid, they don't want our population. They manufactured the injections, they transported them, they store them, and it's very easy, we found, to make an injection more or less lethal or disabling, depending on things as simple as brand, with Moderna being more than three times as lethal than Pfizer. We haven't looked at AstraZeneca or whatever you took in the Netherlands, we can, or, you know, storage, right? You can make it more lethal by not keeping it cold enough, right? Because it thickens at room temperature. So the lipid nanoparticles have been known for a decade to cause reproductive damage to both women and men. They do this because they traverse every membrane in the human body. So that means they cross the blood-brain barrier, right? You're seeing psychological changes in many vaccinated people. The end of nuanced thinking. Things become very binary. They're cut off emotionally. That could be brain damage. And I've got an essay explaining that. They cause neurological damage because they weaken the myelin sheath. This is so gross. You asked, how do they leave the body? We know exactly that they don't leave the body. Lipid nanoparticles, there is no mechanism, our volunteers found, by which they leave the body. They store, for instance, in the ovaries, they biodistribute throughout the body in 48 hours, accumulating in the liver, the adrenals, the spleen, and if you're a woman, in the ovaries. So the first shot, some like plastic, right, blocks the fallopian tubes. The second shot, more accumulates in the ovaries and the fallopian tubes. You keep having shots, you're blocking your ability to reproduce. And that's one reason women are having these horrible menstrual symptoms, right? But they also traverse the placenta. That's a membrane. So the baby in utero is this plastic, essentially, and this petroleum product is in the amniotic fluid, right? It's in the baby. It gets into the baby. It degrades the testes, because that's a membrane around the testicles, of baby boys in utero. So even if that little boy never gets a shot of this, his mom took the shot, we don't know if he's going to grow up to be a normal male with facial hair, broad shoulders, deep voice, the ability to reproduce, right? Because the Sertoli cells and Leydig cells, which are the factories of the male hormones, are being degraded by these lipid nanoparticles. We know that babies are dying in utero, and the Pfizer documents say it is due to maternal exposure to the vaccine. Two babies died in a report on pregnancy and lactation. There's a whole chart of babies getting sick, vomiting, swelling from nursing, because lipid nanoparticles and spike protein are in the breast milk of vaccinated moms. They sent this chart to the White House on April 20th. April 23rd, Rochelle Walensky, our CDC director, gives a press conference from the White House saying pregnant women should take the vaccine. It's safe and effective for pregnant women. She had this in her hand, and it showed babies dying in utero from exposure to the vaccine.
Pure evil.
But that's one of the mechanisms. The spike protein and the mRNA are two other things that the spike protein has been found to cause heart damage, to create clots, and those are the main mechanisms of the damage that we see.
Naomi, I have to say that it's not the most optimistic message I've ever heard in my life. It's super depressing, isn't it? I mean, but we knew. I mean, those who could see from the beginning that there was something seriously wrong, this had to be it. The bioweapon, the virus was never the problem. This was the bioweapon.
Can I sum up some of the things you said?
Or am I right? Including that basically this could create this sort of new human 2.0, the more synthetic human being, and even, you know, you went from two genders to the transgender, and maybe it's a no gender human 2.0. It's all the things that people have predicted and who study this, people like David Icke and other people, have really predicted this many years ago, that this was the plan. And this is what we're facing. We're like 40, 50 years behind their planning. And it seems now all to come together. But we need to be strong. We need to fight this every day. And we can, I think.
I agree with you. I would, again, slightly push back on the way you put that. I don't see, from the Pfizer documents and the reports, I don't see that it's a re-engineered human in the damage to hormones, right, for sure. It's a suppressed human. It's especially suppressed, like they're getting rid of men, right, the things that make men strong and aggressive and wanting to protect their homes and their families. That's, you know, this injection is designed to dial that down. And you see it. You see the feminization of men, you know, everywhere in the West in just one generation. It dials down the things that support family life, right? Because people's hormones, women and men, are so disrupted that people are having problems with desire and ejaculation and orgasm, all of these things that hormones regulate. But the real primary immediate goal that I see is to restrict the population and suppress the population. And we're seeing that. Like, my tweet, why would they have spent so many resources to blacken my name around the world in 2021 when I'm warning about something that will result in depopulation if they didn't have an interest in depopulation? Yeah. And, you know, if there are menstrual problems in 2021, there are going to be fertility problems in 2024, and that's what we're seeing. So there are a million babies that have not been born in Western Europe, you know, that we can't explain since the mRNA injections rolled out. That's the only explanation. And Igor Chudov, a mathematician, has looked at government databases around the world and is seeing a 13 to 20% drop in live births in Western Europe and North America. And what I want to tell you, the reason I concluded that this is a bioweapon aimed at depopulation, among other things, is in the Pfizer documents, there are 43,000 adverse events in 3 months. The overwhelming majority, over 36,000, are in the United States. The next biggest tranche is in Western Europe in order of political importance of the country. So Germany, France, Britain, Italy, Greece, Spain, right? And all the rest of the world combined amounts to only 7,000 adverse events. So I mentioned earlier, you can target this injection. So Western Europe is being depopulated. The United States is being depopulated and disabled, right? Because in both regions, and millions of people who are not familiar with human rights and representational government are being walked over our border or flown over our border and brought into your borders. And I am the daughter and granddaughter of immigrants. This is not a racist thing to say, but as Ed Dowd pointed out, just wait 5 years and, you know, the people who remember democracy in America and Western Europe will be sick or dead unless we fight back. And there are cures and ways to heal this. And the people who don't remember democracy, who are easier to control, easier to subjugate, who are away from their own networks and families, and maybe military age people, we can talk about that, you know, standing by to do bad things, they'll be among us in the millions, and they're not being injected. They're not being required to be injected. So that's the plan, and it's very clear.
Yeah, depopulation and the great replacement conspiracy theory turns out to be, once again, not a conspiracy theory.
Not a conspiracy theory.
Naomi, we got to go, but I thank you a lot. And once again, the book is Oog in Oog met het Beest, Facing the Beast in English. Anything else you want to add, feel free.
I just want to share before people go so that they're not sad that I know it's overwhelming to realize what this injection did, but we are looking at a number of ways to heal. For instance, spike protein can be dissolved through nattokinase, a Japanese product, or like a substance made out of soy. And I've been doing a series on herbal remedies that can, you know, support circulation, can support nerves. So that's, those remedies have been erased by Big Pharma. They don't want us to know about them. My videos about, like, you know, I mean, sassafras keep being removed from YouTube. But the good news is if we really know what happened to us, which this book helps people understand, then they can find the herbal remedies or the supplements or the lifestyle changes that will help them stay healthy. And that's what I'm doing with my loved ones. So I just want to, you know, let people know that it's not overwhelming to face the beast. This is one definition of the beast. There is help and healing, and maybe this is a wake-up call for all of us to rebuild our institutions. We can do it.
Absolutely, and we need to be aware of what is happening, and we need to fight back. Naomi, thanks for being a fighter. You helped a lot of people during that period, and keep doing it, and good luck with everything. I hope to speak to you again.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for all you do. Take care.
De media toont zijn ware gezicht. Maar Robert Jensen buigt voor niemand. Steun het echte geluid via jensen.nl en wees onderdeel van de vooruitgang.
Ik zeg ook altijd van, ik ga hiermee door tot de dag dat ik sterf, of dat de schoen van de militair in mijn nek staat. De belangrijkste les die we de afgelopen jaren hebben geleerd is dat we vrijheid niet voor lief moeten nemen. Maar dat geldt voor meer dingen. Er zijn heel veel mensen die denken dat bijvoorbeeld de Jensen Show, waar ze altijd naar kijken, dat dat altijd zal blijven. Dat dat er gewoon is. Dat dat een vanzelfsprekendheid is. En dat is het niet. Wij hebben jullie steun keihard nodig. Jullie weten het, we doen het niet met subsidie van de overheid. We willen juist kritisch zijn op de overheid. En niemand in de mainstream media kan het meer zijn. Wij wel.
Hier, De Jonge. Iedere Nederlander eens per maand testen op corona. Iedere Nederlander minstens eens per maand een coronatest. Ook als er geen klachten zijn. Iedere Nederlander. 17,3 miljoen. Why don't you just go fuck yourself?
We willen niks te maken hebben met adverteerders, grote bedrijven, want we weten de kern is dat het kwaad.
Moderna is not a real company. It is a shell company for the US military and intelligence agencies.
Nogmaals, neem het niet voor lief dat wij hier altijd zijn. Dat is echt niet zo.
Het leger. Jongens, daar zijn ze weer. Zijn ze weer Jensen.nl in de gaten aan het houden.
We kunnen het alleen maar doen dankzij jullie. Als jullie blijven waarderen wat we hier aan het doen zijn, gaan wij door. Wij geloven hier bij de Intershow echt dat onze beste tijden nog voor ons liggen. En daar zijn we bereid voor te vechten, maar we nemen niet voor lief hoe hard het gevecht is en hoe moeilijk het is. Ga naar Jensen.nl, steun ons en red het vrije woord.
Het vrije geluid laat zich niet censureren.